I give him praise because he's worthy of it. He deserves it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for what you already done, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the service that we had already, Lord. We thank you. We praise your name, God, and we lift you up, God, and we give you glory. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God, for answering prayer, Lord. We thank you, God, for your move. We thank you for moving by your spirit, Lord. We give you praise, God. We give you glory, God. We worship you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We do thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank God always, always for being good to us. Man, I tell you, God is moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. I'm enjoying the testimonies, and it's building my faith. And it's increasing my faith. Amen. Sister, God got you. Whatever comes your way is for you. You know, whatever comes you all's way is for you because you're built that way. You're built to withstand what you think you can't withstand. It belongs to you, and it's for you to overcome. Amen. Not only overcome, when you were testified, I just seen God just increase you, Jack. Honestly. I just seen you just go. I felt like, Lord, you saying to her, this is just a test to see if she's going to pass it, because I got greater things for her, even at that job. I just believe it's a test. I just believe setting you up, getting you ready for greater things. God is setting you up, getting you for greater things. You testified of that this morning, brother. Amen. God is setting his people up for greater things. Amen. God knows what we need. And God knows which way to take us. Amen. He knows which avenue for us to go down. He knows he's ordered our steps. Amen. God has already put your steps in place. Amen. All we got to do is follow him. Don't think that you got out of line. Because things got hard. Things gonna get hard. You ain't out of line. You right in sync with the Lord. You right there with him. You right there with him. And that other blessing is coming. I believe it. The next one, I said. The next one is gonna be for him. That's what I believe. Amen. God is just good. He is good. Boy, you really can praise him when you know he's just being good to you. He's laying it on you. Keep the same praise when we go through. You know, that's what God loves. When you're going through, keep that same praise. Keep that same energy, that same joy, that same peace. Keep it all. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Amen. God loves that. If your testimonies that you tell, if it can bring a smile to our face, just imagine what it's doing to the creators. Just imagine what it's doing to him. If we can smile at what God has done for you and what you said he's doing for you, just imagine how God feels about you. Amen. He feels so good that his people are standing. Amen. God is just good. He's an awesome God. And God will never fail. He can't fail. It's not in his DNA. You know, you can't put that in the same vocabulary with God, failure. He don't fail. He's a good God. I'm not going to be with you up here long this morning, but God give me a little something to share with the saints of God, hopefully encourage you. We do continue to pray for one another. We do thank God for this fast. I believe it was from God, you know, not because some people say that they zooming through it, you know. I just believe it was... I believe it was ordained by God because we needed it. You know, we needed it naturally so. We need it spiritually so. Amen. I see what, you know, it's something when you know you're doing something that's not healthy for you. But you just keep doing it. You know, you stay on in it until God's call you to a fast. Get off of that stuff. You know, this fast, I'm asking God, Lord, you know, when it's over, don't let me pick that stuff back up. Let me stay away from it. Deliver me from it. I don't need it. It's a want. Amen. It's a desire. You know, and it's not a good desire for the things that we, and we can do all things in moderation. And I think God is pleased with that. But I tell you, it's been helpful to me. I ain't walked around. We ain't walked around trying to figure out what the menu going to be, you know, what's for tomorrow and all of that. All we know is we're doing what we need to do, and we're going to watch God move. We believe in God is going to move in this house. Amen. Come with me to the book of Ezra, chapter 6. I'm not going to try to keep you long. And we will have a meeting on the third Sunday of this month. We're going to have a meeting, third board meeting, third Sunday of this month, and try to keep it going. Many know God is good, and good all the time. When you're waiting, is he good? When you don't hear him, is he good? He's just good. When you don't feel like he's around, is he good? He's just good and good by himself. We want to thank God for you being here this morning. Thank God for all the saints, those that are not present this morning. We pray for them. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Come boldly before the throne, the Bible tells us. Father, we come boldly this morning, God, but humbly as we know how. Lord God, first of all, God, thanking you, Lord God, for all things, oh God. Thanking you, God, for being with us, Lord God, in our tests and our trials, God. Thanking you, Father, for strengthening us, God, when we are weak, Lord God. God, we thank you for lifting us up, God. Hallelujah. God, when we're down, we thank you, Father, oh God, for your faithfulness, God. For you never fails, Lord God. We just pray, Father God, today, God. Lord God, we thank you for getting us halfway through, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to get us all the way through, God. Now, Father, we pray that you will strengthen us, Lord, during this time, during this season, Lord God. Lord God, during this move, God, that you're going to do, God. Lord God, help us to ready ourselves, oh God. God, we ask you to anoint our eyes and our ears, oh God, so we hear, God, and see, God, what the Spirit is saying to the church, Father. And we just pray for those that are sick on this morning, God. We ask you to touch their bodies, Lord God. God, we rebuke cancer this morning. God, we rebuke, God, every sickness, God, even the common cold, Lord. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus, God. We speak healing, God, to your people, God. We send the word, God, to those that are home, God. Those that are dealing, God, with issues, Lord, and circumstances, God. Lord God, let them remember, God, that you are greater, God. Oh, God, and you're mighty, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as we go to this word, we pray, Father God, that you will speak to me, God. Speak through me, Lord God. God, give us, God, what we need, God. Have your way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Father God, to be led by the Spirit, God. We ask this, God, in Jesus' name. And look on, God, our pastor, God. We pray for pastor today, God. We ask that you, God, will continue to strengthen her, God. Strengthen her mind, Lord God. Strengthen her, God. Give her strength in her bones, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her spirit, Father, we pray, God, in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, Ezra. I'm going to start at verse 3. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus, the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be built. The place, let the house be built. The place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundation thereof be strongly laid. The height thereof 70 cubits. And the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber. And let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and placed them in the house of God. Here it is. King Darius is reading out a decree that they found that King Cyrus had gave a decree about building the house of God. And You know how when you start doing something for God, the enemy comes, and you know they had trouble building the house of God. They was stopped for a while. But after this decree that the letter that was found, that it said that it was written that Cyrus said, go ahead and build the house of God. Not only build the house, he said, let the house be built in the place where they offered sacrifice. Amen. And he said, let it be given to them out of the king's treasure to help build this house. And he said, also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had took out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, be brought unto the Babylon, unto Babylon to be restored. And what Nebuchadnezzar had did, he had taken the golden and silver vessels from the house of God. He took forth out of the temple of Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon. What he did, he took what these vessels that was in the house of God that they used for worship and service, and he took them out of God's house and he put them, brought them to Babylon, and he put them in the Babylonian temple and set them with the pagan temples. And we see often that too many times that people are trying to put what God has with what the world has. We see too often that the world want us to line up with them. They want God's folk to agree with what they are doing. Amen. They want you to say it's okay. They want you to pat them on the back and say that it's all right. And so he took out of the temple what belonged to God and took it to Babylon. Babylon is a place where they say it means confusion or to be mixed up. And we see so many times that some of God's people are so confused now and so mixed up to where they don't know what is right no more and what's wrong no more. They don't have the understanding of what righteous is. They don't have the understanding of what holiness is. I heard somebody say this morning that I'm not holy. Yes, you are holy. You're holy because God made you holy. You're holy because you set yourself aside for God's purpose. You are holy because God set you aside for his purpose. You are holy because he's holy. Ain't that what he said? Be ye holy because I am holy. And the only way you can be holy is follow God. Is to be a believer. Is to be saved. Amen. So you are holy. Don't let the devil lie to you. And so many people believe, they are so confused now and mixed up. You got to stand on what you know. You got to stand on regardless they agree with you or not. You are what you are because God called you that. Amen. Because God made you what you are. Amen. You are wonderfully, fearfully made. Amen. You're made in God's image and his likeness. That's who you are. That's who you are, and that's who you need to be, is what God made you. And so they took the vessels, and they took them to Babylon and set them with their gods. You know, we can't sit with their gods. We can't sit with the enemy, you know. I ain't saying that you can't witness to none. That's what we're supposed to do. But you just can't sit there and be with them in an environment that you know you're not supposed to be in. Amen? You know, a lot of folks think that they say they still can go hang out at the club because I can witness somebody in the club. Every weekend I go to the club, I'm witnessing somebody. Where they at? You know, where's the testimony? Amen? So don't get it mixed up now. They don't want you. They don't want to know if you're serving God the right way. They want you to go along with what they're doing. They want you to go along with what they are saying. You know, a lot of people are just confused about what to do nowadays. You know, people just don't know what to do. They don't know whether they're doing right or whether they are doing wrong. And so we know who we serve. We know when we're doing wrong. Hey, amen. Don't you feel like you know you're doing when you know you're doing wrong? You know, it pricks your heart, don't it? You know, it does something to it, stops you in your tracks. It makes you feel so pitiful, so sorrowful for what you have done. Amen. The way that you have gone. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, for God is not the author, amen, of confusion. God ain't the author of no confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is not the author of confusion, amen. And some people love confusion. Some people thrive in chaos. They love confusion. They don't know how to hold a decent, holy conversation. They got to have some confusion in the conversation to bring them to life. You know, some people, man, they just live in it. You know, some of them live and move in confusion. You know, we live and move in Christ. Amen. In peace. Amen. And so some people like the confusion. They just can't help it. But God don't work in confusion. Amen. How many believe that God don't work in confusion? Oh, don't say that he does. He don't work in it. He don't work in chaos. Amen. God does something greater. You know, but God, he don't work in it, but God will work the chaos out of you. Amen. He will work the confusion out of you. That's what he would do. That's what God did. God will work out the confusion in your life. He will work out the chaos in your life. He'll work these things out of you so you can say, so you can have the peace that he's talking about. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. I mean, you know that the world needs peace. God's folk need peace. We need peace. And if we don't have the peace, who the world going to look to for peace? Who they going to look to when things are... I heard the Lord speak this morning about the time is short. The time that has been come up so many times. We know that the time is short. Get ready. Don't be caught with your work undone. You know, we don't know when God is going to come. Amen. When he comes, but he's coming in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. You know, so but God is looking for us to have that peace. He brought peace. He wants you to have peace that surpasses everybody's understanding, even sometimes yours. You know, you ever been in a situation where you feel like, man, I don't know why I ain't moved by all of this. I mean, everything's shaking, everything moving, but I just don't feel like doing nothing but waiting on God. You know, I got up this morning and went to my vehicle. Something happened. I said, oh, I couldn't do nothing but smile. I looked up in the sky and said, oh, what next? You know, I know something come. I know there's a blessing coming through. I know you got a blessing on the way. I know God got something prepared for you because you ain't letting this stuff get you down. You ain't letting this stuff make you kick rocks. You ain't letting this stuff make you fuss at your husband or your wife. You ain't letting this stuff move you at all. Amen. And so this stuff happened. Some happened last night to one of the other vehicles. Then some happened to this vehicle. So we are down in vehicles. All the vehicles we got, there are something wrong with them. But I'm so glad that I can stand not just up here in front of you all and smile. But I'm so glad when I got up this morning, I just look up and smile and say, Lord, I know you working. I know you working, Lord God. I know this is just part of the story. This is just what you're going through. It's just part of your story. God making this thing look good for you. He making this thing look good for you so you can make him look really grand. Amen. When you get through testifying about what you're going to come out of, what you've been through, you ain't going to be able to sit down. You're going to have, oh, well, I forgot this part. Oh, wait, can I say this? Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Say what God wants you to say. Give God glory. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be giving God his glory when God bring you out. Amen. So God don't work in confusion. He's not the author of confusion. God wants us to have peace. Whose mind stayed on him shall be kept in what? Perfect peace. I mean, perfect peace. Man, perfect peace. got to experience this perfect peace, Lord. You know, are we experiencing this perfect peace? We ain't letting nothing get us down. Amen. And then he said he brought them unto Babylon. He brought them unto Babylon. You can't mix holiness with unholiness. You can't mix good with evil. Amen. You can't mix unrighteousness with righteousness. That just don't fit. Amen. You can't, they don't intertwine. Amen. You can't mix clay with iron. Amen. That stuff just don't intertwine. You know, you can't put God and the devil in the same conversation that God defeated the foe. Amen. So Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath the light with darkness? Ain't no, you can't have fellowship with the righteous, with the unrighteous. You can't have communion with darkness. Amen. The Bible said the light shineth in dark places, and the darkness comprehended it not. It couldn't overtake it. Light, darkness just can't understand the light. It don't have an idea what the light is for. All it want is darkness. You know, people don't have an idea what the light is for. All they want is darkness. Jesus said, because their deeds are evil. A lot of folk love that darkness because they feel like can't nobody see me in the dark. Don't nobody see me what I'm doing. But God sees everything. Amen. He's the light of all men. Amen. So Paul said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he turns around and he says, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils too. You cannot partake in the Lord's table and the table of the devils too. He said, you can't serve. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one or love the other or devote yourself to one and despise the other. One of them you're going to do. And don't despise the master. Don't despise him. Don't hate him. Our people despising God and hating God because what's going on in the world, God ain't got, that ain't none of his fault. They blaming everything on God. This happened, God, well, why he let that happen? Why he do that? When are you going to take ownership for your own actions? When are you going to take ownership for what you do? What you said? How you feel? When are you going to take ownership? Amen? God wants you to take ownership of what you have done. Amen. And once you take ownership of what you've done, God turned things around. You repent. He turned things around for you. And so he said, you can't serve two masters. You got to let one go and grab hold of the other. And so many people are grabbing hold of the other and not taking hold of the one that loves them, the one that's keeping them, the one that wakes them up every morning, the one that reigns on them just like he reigns on us. Amen. The one that provides for them like he provides for us. Amen. He says, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6:17 said, wherefore come out from among them. Get away from them. Separate yourself. Amen. He said, be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He said, if you touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you. You know, so many people are touching the unclean things. So many people back in the world touching things that they ain't supposed to touch. So many people back in the world doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. That was a time in the Old Testament that when they touched a dead body, they were considered as unclean. He ain't talking about that. You know, he ain't talking about touching an undead body. He ain't talking about sitting on a bed when a woman had her season that makes you unclean. God ain't talking about that. He's talking about get away from sin. Get out of sin. Get out of the harm's way. Amen. People are touching things. Saints of God are touching things that they ought not to be touching in this world today. They've gone back to drinking. They're going back to smoking. They're going back to clubbing because they feel like God is nowhere around. Amen. He said, touch not those unclean things. And so many people have been touching these unclean things and they're wondering where God is. He said, if you touch him not, then I will. He said, I will receive you. Amen. God will receive you. I don't know where you was at when he received me, but I don't care where you are. You can be on a street corner. You can be in a club. You can be in a whorehouse. You can be laying in a gutter. You can be in front of one of them stores begging. Amen. But if you touch not the unclean thing, he said he gonna receive you. He'll come looking for you. I don't know about nobody else. I feel like God left 99 sheep and came and found this one. When I was in that clubhouse, I heard about this testimony. When I was in that clubhouse, he came and got me out of it. Amen. So I don't care where you were. You might be at home right now. You might be at home right now touching some unclean thing. It may be not your hands. It may be your heart. Maybe your mind. Touch not the unclean thing, he says, and he will receive you. Amen. Don't let your hands be too busy doing things that you're not supposed to do, touching the unclean. But get your hands busy doing God's work. Get busy and start doing what God wants you to do. Get busy and start praying. Tag along on this fast. It ain't too late. If you want to join in, tag along on this fast. We got 5 more days left. No meat, no wine, just vegetables, fruit, water, nuts, and grain. If you just tuning in. So don't touch the unclean thing. Follow God. Amen. Do what God wants you to do. Or are you entangled? Tied up again with the yoke of bondage of this world. Are you tied back up in the world? So many people are back tied up in the world where God had brought them from. Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I don't know about nobody else. I thank God for making me free. Not setting me free, but I thank God for making me free and free indeed. So take your hands off the unclean stuff. And he said, I will receive you. I will heal you. I'll lead and guide you. I'll uphold you. God will do it for you. I meet your every need. I supply all of them. There is not a need that God can't supply. There are some things that we feel like sometimes, Lord, it's just some people feel like it's impossible. It's just impossible, Lord. I don't see no way out of this. You know, look, I know we know and we believe that with God all things are possible. But I'm going to tell you something that I know is the truth because I know it's the truth about me. Or it'd be some things that come up spontaneously. And I wonder, Lord, but I have to catch myself. You know, I may not verbalize it, but I wonder, say, Lord, is it possible? Do I have to do this? I would say it, but I don't want nobody to think that I'm doing something wrong. I'll tell you. But I say, Lord, do I have to do this? There are some things that we have to do. But I say, Lord, I just don't want what comes with it. I don't want it, Lord. So is that possible? I believe it is. That's my conversation with God. I'm just telling you how I was talking to him this morning. That's my conversation with him. I believe it's possible. Well, all of that out there that belong to you, it don't belong to them. It belongs to you. You said the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they, the people who dwells in it. Not just the people, the houses, the land, amen? The cars, amen? It belongs to God, amen? And I ain't saying you ain't got to get out there and work. But I said, Lord, you said I'm a slave if I borrow. I said, but you made me free. And I know I got to work, Brother Joe. I know I got to work. I know I got to work. I work. I think I work too much. I know I got to work. But I said, Lord, I don't want the baggage that comes with it. Now, I know this is possible with you. God knows what you need. And he knows that you don't want to be in debt. Speak it. Believe it. If God want to cancel debt, he don't want you getting back in debt. Amen. Come on, y'all. He wants you to be able to help somebody else. You can't help nobody when you can't help yourself. That saying that's out there in the street, God help those who help themselves. Well, Lord, I'm helpless right about now. I need your help, Lord. I don't know about nobody else, but I need his help. Amen. I need a way out so I can be a blessing. Amen. You know, we say that God said that we're the head and not the tail. Well, I'm tired of being the tail. Amen. I'm tired of being the borrower. I want to be the lender. God said, look, he wants you to be the bank. If you're a lender, you're a bank. People come to you. Can you loan me? God wants you to be able to get it. Give it to him. But you can't give it to him. All right. I heard a uh-oh. You can't give it to him if you ain't got it. I'll pray for you. That's all you can do. Because you ain't got nothing else to give them. You know? And a lot of times, that's what they need. Prayer. That's what Peter said, didn't he? Look on us. Do we look like we got any money? Do we look like we're rich because we're coming in this church? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. They need that too. Amen. But they need some monetary things. Amen. People need help today. People are going through today. I ain't just talking about over here in our own backyard. Yes, we help here. But man, I look at the people that's going through over there in the wars. Kids not knowing when they're going to get their next meal. I say, Lord, I want to be able to take something and just donate it. Just give it to them. You know, Lord, help me. Because God, look, he said, look, he told Abraham, look, everybody bless you, I'm going to bless them. Anybody that curse you, I'm going to curse them. So God is looking for us to be a blessing, amen. He's looking for you to do something. So don't get yourself entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so many of God's people are entangled with the world again. He said, but if you keep your hands from the unclean things, he will receive you. He will keep you. God will heal you. He'll bless you. Stuff will just start happening in your life. And we can't say that we don't know why. But stuff will just start happening. You know, things will start changing. Things going to start changing. Amen. So after God had brought them back to Jerusalem, to the house of God, we're talking about these gold and silver vessels. Amen. Let's talk about those gold and silver vessels for a little bit. You know, to bring you up to speed, you all remember how David wanted to build a house for God. Right? He wanted to, that David had a vision. You know, he had a good intent. God put something in his heart to build a house for him. And so David, he went around fighting nations, you know, conquering nations. He was collecting silver and gold for the house of God. God gave him a blueprint of how the house is supposed to be. So David, you know, he went out getting the gold, getting the silver for the house of God. But David couldn't build the house. You know, sometimes we feel like when God give us a vision, you know, God's going to take that whole vision through us and complete it. It wasn't so, because David's son, Solomon, was the one that God wanted to use to build build his house. And so when David was expiring on his way out, he gave that vision to Solomon, told him how it's supposed to be, gave him the blueprint, and he gave him the gold and the silver. Now, mind you, it was just gold and silver. You know, lumps, maybe bars, I don't know. But he had a whole bunch of, you read the Bible. He had a whole bunch of gold and silver. And God ain't trying to, and David wasn't trying to make God's house rich. David knew that God was rich already. You can't make God rich, amen? He just loved God so that he wanted to put some good stuff in God's house. Man, I hope y'all follow me when I'm, listen to what I'm saying. David wanted to put some good stuff in God's house. Amen. Then David went out there and got the gold and the silver. You know, and he gave it that stuff. He dedicated it to the house of God. So Solomon took the gold and he took the silver. You know, he fashioned these things. Amen. He made vessels. He made the bowls, the utensils, all the things that they used in the house of God. It was a purpose why David was getting this gold and silver. God had a purpose for David. He had a purpose for Solomon. Amen. But, you know, David couldn't build it. He didn't fashion. Solomon fashioned. All of this pointing to Jesus and you. That's all I'm saying. These vessels were made to worship God. So that's why they took these vessels out of God's house and brought them to the Babylonian temple, you know, and they started using them. But they weren't supposed to use God. They're not fit to be used. Amen. They couldn't use God. So God, these vessels he's talking about is you and me. You know, God, it was David that went out there and got the gold and silver. You and me. And God tells us that we are more precious. And he said, we're more precious. And God was just showing David something. He was showing us something. I had to send, not David, I sent somebody to get you from out of those nations. I had sent somebody to get you from out of those pagan ways that you were to rescue you. Amen. And when I gave you to myself. How about that? I gave you to myself so I can fashion you and form you and shape you into what I want you to be. Amen. God had a plan. God is shaping us right now. He's shaping you right now in your test, in your trial. And then once he dedicated these things, these things were consecrated unto God. And then after they were consecrated to God, set aside for God's purpose, God had to purify them. They were in Babylonia. They was in Babylon going through. Wasn't they going through? They were sitting up there with the pagan idols. And some of God's folk are sitting right now with the pagan idols. But God love you so, regardless you in captivity or where you at, God never left them. Amen. God never left. So all of this purification, this dedicating David did, dedicating this, if God was, he's showing us who we are in him and who we are to him. Amen. God is showing us that these lumps of what you was a big lump of a mass of glob of blah before God got a hold of you. But when God got a hold of you, he made you what he wants you. He created you in his likeness. He created you in his image. Amen. He made you wonderfully and fearfully. That's what God did. God made you. He fashioned you into what I know what I want you to be. God knows what he wants you to be. He knows what you're going to be. Amen. Before you was in your mother's belly, he knew what you were going to be. Amen. So God was already making this up. So this silver and this gold is a representation of his people. You know, he was getting his people prepared for something. Amen. They was getting prepared. And you got to be prepared. The only way you can get prepared is go through. You know, yes. You know, Israel, us, we get ourselves in trouble. And they got themselves in trouble and they went in exile. But while they was in exile, they were going through. Not just going through, they were being made. You know, so look at yourself today and encourage yourself, encourage your neighbor. Just because you're going through, God is saying, I'm making you. I'm making you what you want me. I'm making you to be what you think you probably couldn't do. I don't know if I can do it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Amen. There is nothing that God is going to bring you to that he's not going to bring you through. Nothing. If you in it, you're in it to win it. You're in it to come out victorious. You're in it to come out on top and not the bottom. If God allowed you to get in it, then he put you in it for a reason. God purifies the silver and it purifies the gold. He purifies us and makes us and shapes us. Amen. Not into forks, whatever he wants us to be. Not into a bowl, whatever God wants us to be. You know, he wants us to be vessels of honor, fit for the master's use. Amen. He wants you to let your light so shine. Amen. So these vessels, they were you and they were me, and they were brought again into the temple of God. He restored them. Amen. The Bible says that in verse 5, he says that, and they were brought into Babylon, and God restored the vessels. He restored them. Restore means to replace, not to replace, but to bring back to its intended purpose. You know, God was bringing us back, and it's not to erase and not to replace us, but God was restoring his people. God is restoring you right now in your test and your trial. You know, his intent for us is to praise him, to worship him. We were made, and God is making you. You know, all the praises that went up this morning, through all them tests and trials that you say you're going through, you're walking around here praising. You know, that's almost like the gold and silver in the fire. Saying, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know I'm coming out because you brought me in. And so he restored them. You know, to restore something is, it's got to be worth something to you. You know, I always want to restore one of my vehicles. Never had a chance to. But when you restore, when you want to restore something, it's got to mean something to you. It's got to have some kind of value. Amen. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to restore it. Amen. Some people, they want to just get rid of stuff. You know, I'll buy me a new one. You know, I don't want that no more. It's old. I thank God that he didn't throw me away. I thank God that he didn't throw you away because I was in my old ways, because I was broke down. You know, a lot of people look at stuff and feel like it's not repairable. It's not usable no more. Or that's outdated. But God don't see like you see. God don't see like we see. He said, I'll take that and make it better. You know, I'll refurbish it. I'll fix it up on the inside. Old houses, I'm going to build it up. I'm going to give it an extreme makeover. I'm going to put this in it. I'm going to put that in it. I'm going to put that over there. I'm going to put this over there. God makes it new again. Amen. God makes it over again. So God wants to restore what the devil has eaten up from us. Amen. God wants, he ain't like people. He ain't like us, you know. He knows that we were worth something. We had to be worth something because he spilled some precious, expensive, precious, divine blood for us. He bled, he hung, bled, and died for us. So you had to be worth something, amen. He didn't want to push you away. God could have pushed you away any given time. He could have said, I'm not getting on that cross. Father, I'm not going down there to rescue them hard-headed folk because they ain't going to do right. You already know it. You know they're going to keep on clowning, but I see something that they don't see. Sister Harvey used to always say, Brother Al, I know something that you don't know. She used to call me and mess with me about the NBA Finals. And I said, I don't want LeBron James to win. I don't want this person to win. I don't want them. But I don't. She said, I know something that you don't know. And after that, she said, I prayed. See, I went praying for my team. She said, I prayed that they, and God showed me that God sees you. Amen. He knows what you're worth. Amen. He made you in his likeness. He created you. Amen. He created you to praise him. He created you to worship him. God knows what's inside of us. But that's what the purging is for. It's to get it out so he can replace it with something greater. Much more greater in us. That'll keep you smiling. That'll keep you joyful. That'll keep you going on this away and not that away. Amen. So God restores. He's seen us and he sees us. He didn't push us to the side. He didn't do it. He was faithful. And he did it for us. He delivered us. He delivered us. And the other thing you got to, when you're restoring something, you got to have the resources. I couldn't restore my trucks because I didn't have the resources. There I am again. And my wife was probably saying, you don't need it no way. You know, I don't know if she was praying with me or saying, no, Lord, I want something new. Because she hates when I, she don't like when I want to polish up and fix this old vehicle that's got 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it, but it's still riding real good, Brother Joe. The motor ain't clunking or nothing. It's still real smooth. All I got to do is just get the outside taken care of and then go on the inside. But that's how God feel about you. Amen. That's the same way God feel about you. Amen. You know, but I didn't have the resources. But God got the resources. God got what it take. Amen. He got grace. Amen. He got mercy. Amen. God got saving power. Amen. He's mighty in battle. God got what it take to keep you, to restore you. Amen. He's got it all. You got to have the know-how, and God has the know-how, because God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, don't he? He knows how. I can testify all day how God delivered me out of temptation. Amen. Brought me out when I fell. Amen. Amen. Job 2:25 said it. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. God is saying he's finna restore his church. That's why he brought those vessels. He commanded those vessels to go back, because God is finna restore. God showed me something Wednesday night. I had to go back there and write it down before I forgot it. And I said, Lord, I believe, even as you have shown me. People are finna start being restored. They finna start getting back to where God says he's going to put them. And he says, after he had restored them and brought them again unto the where? Unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and placed them in the where? The house of God. See, it's a place that you need to be. It's a place that people need to be. They don't think they need to be. They don't think they have to go to church no more. They started off going to church, but something happened along the way to where they said, I ain't got to go no more. They started off fasting and praying, worshiping God, but they ain't feel like they got to do it as often no more. Paul said, I fast often. We got to fast often because we got some yokes that need to be destroyed. We need breakthroughs. Amen. We're looking for miracles. Amen. We're looking for healings. So he said he put everyone to his place and placed them in the house of God. Placing them where they belong. God knows where you belong. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner some is. And we know that some is in their manner forsaking to assemble with God. Well, I watch it on TV. I'm with the saints then. Why do you think all those saints that you're watching on TV are in church and you sitting at home laying in the bed? They doing what they're supposed to do. You just don't do because you're lazy. You got excuses. But let something else pop off. Let something else that will spark the interest of that flesh and not the spirit. You find the strength. You muster up, you find a time, and tell God, we know God don't mind. We know God don't mind. I asked the Lord, you know, I feel like he said, I can, you know, it's okay. But ask the Lord about this fast. Ask the Lord about praying 3 days. You know, ask the Lord about doing something for him in the house of God. Ask him about sending your money across the seas. Ask him about that and see what he say. Ask him and let me know what he say. And he said he placed everyone. God is putting us where we're supposed to be. Amen. I believe God is making up his jewel. I believe God is strengthening his church. Amen. You know, because he's putting us back where we're supposed to be. Back in his house to do what? You know, God created us. You know, he created us to worship him. That's what those vessels represent. And they use these vessels to worship and serve God. Amen. So God is placing his people where they belong. He said, for in him we live and move and have our being. God wants to have a relationship with, a better relationship with us. You know, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. God wants to put us back where we're supposed to be. And reason why God, people feel like God ain't received them, because they're not where they're supposed to be. And I ain't talking about just being in church in this building. I'm talking about in our life. You know, that's part of it, being in the house of God. That's part of it. But God wants to dwell with you. God wants to heal us. And I just wonder if this is the reason why that it's, we say God is taking too long. You know, there again, we blame it on God. When last time you looked at yourself in the mirror and see what manner of person that you was and say, Lord, is it me? Somebody was talking to, I was talking to yesterday. And man, I said, well, I hear what you're saying, but I always have to start with me, not you. Not that individual that's causing me the problem, I say. But I say, Lord, I start singing this song to this person. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the prayer. Not the preacher, not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the prayer. I say, yeah, you're right. I probably need to look at myself. We do need to look at ourselves. We got to look at ourselves. But God is going to restore. He's going to revive. All the years, he said, all those years that you thought was lost, God is going to restore. He's going to bring them back, give them back to you. Everything that you lost, that you thought you forfeited, God got it. It ain't going nowhere. It's for you. It's for you. Because in his presence, amen, is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is restoring his church. He's putting us back. I didn't got to try to do nothing. He's putting us back in our places. He said, everyone in their places, and we got to know our place in the Lord. We got to know, because God is putting us back. These trials, them fiery trials that you're going through, God is purifying you. He's putting you back where you're supposed to be. He's putting you back. So God is restoring. He's a God of restoration. Amen. He's a God of restoration. God don't lie. He's not the son of man that he's got to lie. Amen. Neither son of God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he shall repent. If God says something, God gonna do it. I just believe God is gonna restore the church. Not just Revival Center, the church, his body. We are a body. The church around the corner, the church across the seas, the one across the river, the one that you live up the street from, God is going to restore. Because we all need restoration. We need a restoration crew. Anybody ever work with a restoration crew? Yeah, you've been out there restoring the streets and restoring the grass that the machines tore up. Well, the machines and tore some of God's people up. And God got a restoration crew out there. He's got his angels. Amen. He's got the Holy Ghost that's restoring us day by day. Every day he's washing us and renewing us every day. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good that you can smile through your tests and your trial. It's good that you can lift your hands when you don't know when God gonna move. But I know he gonna move. I know he's coming. I know he's on the way, so I'm not gonna let my ways delay my blessing. Don't let your ways delay what God has for you. God bless you this morning. Remember, God is what? Restoring his people back to their what? Proper places. Amen. God bless you on this morning. God help you this morning. God help us. Let us pray one for another. Continue to ask God to give us strength during this fast. Amen. It is good. It's needful. And again, we're going to have another one during the middle of the year and one at the end of the year. We're going to get I guess we get to a point to where Pastor says his man was fasting so much, she said his pants was coming down off of him. So we're gonna have to get some hole punches and punch some holes in our belts to keep our pants up, Brother Joe. Amen. God bless you this morning. Anybody need prayer this morning? Anybody? Anybody need renewing this morning? We're going to ask that to him. I won't assume nothing. Anybody need a rededicating? We know we are rededicating ourselves during this fast. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You know, rededicating. God don't replace you. He loves you. He restores you. He paid too great of a price for you. Too great of a price. Amen. Let us stand and dismiss. God bless you, sister. Pray the Lord will strengthen you. Strengthen your knees. Strengthen your hips so you can do what you desire to do. Leave that thing at home. I pray that God will strengthen you, Sister Selena. Bless you, God. Give you strength in your knees. Strength in your legs. In the name of Jesus. God is your healer. He is your healer. Keep trusting him. Keep believing him. Keep trying him, Sister Selena. Keep on trying him. He won't fail. He will never fail. They say failure is not in him. What did you say this? You just can't put failure with God. Just can't put failure with. Put failure with the devil. You know? So keep on believing God. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you, Father, for letting us know, God, who we are in you, God. Letting us know, God, how much you care for us, Lord God. God, we thank you, Father God, that you're letting us know, God, that we are more precious than silver or any gold or any metal, God. Lord God, you love us so, God. We are precious in your sight, Father. And we thank you, Lord God. We are the apple of your eye, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for restoring this church, God. Restoring our brothers and sisters, Lord God. We thank you for the restoration, God. We thank you, Lord God, for putting us back, God, into your house and in our proper places. Now, Father God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, we ask that you look on us, God. Protect us, guide us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, till we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.